better make me change my mind. Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. Call me anytime, you got to call me. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around.
You can see me turning.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around.
You can see me turning.
And I don't want to leave. Gotta make me change my mind. I don't want no one to squeeze me. They might take away my life. I don't want no one to squeeze me. They might take away my life. I just want someone to hold me.
Listening to Recovery Radio on Enlighten Radio down in beautiful Harpers Ferry this morning. Thank you, and I am your host, James Boyd, sitting in this morning and coming to you live. Thank goodness the government is back open. People can get back to work and they can continue to sell you a bill of goods. How about that? Yeah, you're listening to Recovery Radio this morning. I want to talk about our topic is, what does a recovery community look like? Can you imagine that? A recovery community. What does it look like? Recovery-ready community, I should say. Recovery-ready community. And we're going to open that up this morning and invite you into the conversation. And we're talking about the long-term recovery, actually. And what does a recovery community look like? Well, let me see if I can lay it out for you. I like to kind of describe things that I'm talking about in pictures. So picture this, if you will, coming from the mouth of Rod Sterling. Anybody remember that Rod Sterling, Into the Twilight Zone? Well, we're talking this morning about a recovery-ready community. And I want to introduce you to a concept that kind of caught my attention. Actually, there are two concepts that have caught my attention, and I want to talk about the first one is the healing forest and the recovery-ready community. That's the healing forest and the recovery ready community. And the analogy in the healing in the healing forest is that if you can picture a tree that's dying and you take the tree and you transplant it and you nurture it and you make it healthy again, it's up and ready to go. And you take that same tree and put it back in that contaminated soil. And that is the kind of an analogy I like to look at with the healing forest, because what they do, if you're addicted, they take you and put you into a rehab and you get yourself all dried out and cleaned up, and they pretty you up and you gain weight and they feed you meals and medication and you go through these groups, and then they take you and put you back into that tainted soil, which is most of our communities, which are not recovery or ready communities. They put you back in that same soil. This is one of the most riveting metaphors, and it comes from a Native American movement. It's called the Healing Forest. It's a metaphor. The clinical treatment of addiction is seen as analogous to digging up a sick and dying tree. That's what I was. I was a sick and dying tree. And luckily for me, I'm living here in the United States of America, where we do have something for a sick and a dying tree. And when you're using that thinking and you're addicted to drugs, or you have a loved one who's addicted to drugs, just think of it as a sick and a dying tree. And you take that tree and you transplant it into an environment of rich soil, sunshine, water, and fertilizer, only to return that sick and dying tree to its original deprived location. And so what do you think is going to happen? And Tracy Chapman just sung it to us, and she says, give me one reason to stay here and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here and I'll turn right back around. I've been here in this community in Berkeley and Jefferson, West Virginia, for about 15 years. And what I've noticed is the soil is damaged. The soil is tainted. And so in our recovery community, we're going to have to fix the soil. And those of us who are in recovery, I ask that you allow yourself some forgiveness right now, because those people who really have not been addicted, or a lot of the clinicians, there's a lot of good ones, a lot of sociologists, psychologists, and I'm not advocating that anybody go out and use drugs so that they can understand what an addict goes through. I'm just talking to you, one addict to another, and also one believer to one doubter. And I call you a doubter because you just don't know. You don't realize what addicts go through when they're trying to get into recovery and to stop using and to stay stopped. So I use the analogy of the healing forest. And so we have to create an environment that's healing and healthy before we transplant that tree. So when you get out of jail, or when you get out of your drug court, or when you get out of your detox or rehab, and you come back home, is the soil in your community tainted, or is it a recovery ready soil? And that's what we're going to be talking about. Recovery ready communities. The advocacy group Young People in Recovery is focused on creating recovery ready communities throughout the nation of people seeking recovery. It is a great phrase. It immediately provokes the question, what would a recovery community look like? They don't appear to have written much on the concept, though. And they say they've outlined four areas in which improved resources are needed for young people in recovery: access to treatment, educational opportunities, secure quality housing, and employment opportunities. What does one of these communities look like? We work in a community that has evolved to resemble these concepts. And this writer is talking from somewhere in Seattle, where they've created a recovery-ready community. And so I think that not to have to reinvent the wheel, that we can latch on to some of these communities that have recovery-ready communities and find out how they did what they did and what is the success rate. It's a work in process. So here in Berkeley County, one of the things that excite me about the other creating recovery-ready community is the sober The Recovery Cafe is the model that I was looking at. And then it's a place where you can come and relax and some place that's not so clinical, where you can have a social life and talk about the good things of the day and some of the bad, where a young lady can come and get some grooming, sit down at a station or a laboratory, I like to call it, where you can talk to a makeup expert, a person that's into the fingernails and the hair and, you know, all the things that the ladies like to do. You know, it's a work in process and it's recovery ready. So the thing with the sober, with the Recovery Cafe, is that it's a model that comes out of Seattle. And they're doing some great work over there. I've tapped into that and some of the resources that they offer, the menu, the lineup of things that they have for us to do who are in long-term recovery. Right now, one of the resources that I use is the Recovery Coach Academy, the Peer Recovery Coach Academy, and it's operating down here in Harpers Ferry. They're going to have another class coming up, and I'm going to post that information. So I would invite all of those who really don't understand what addiction is about to come to the academy and just get a new perspective. Some really good instructors down there. Senator John Unger is one of them. And Marty, God bless you, Marty. You're a good teacher. But that's what kind of like we're headed toward recovery-ready communities. One of the things that I've noticed in this country is that for drug addiction, they're calling it a disease. So they lock you up for having this disease. They put you in a place, as you've heard me state before, where it exacerbates the disease. It makes it worse. And then they punish you when you get out for not getting better. Well, the way that we get better is to create a place. We have to work on the soil and the fabric. And that's the culture of not being a recovery ready community, because I know that you all would agree that this is something that we absolutely need, recovery ready communities. And so let's for a minute talk about how we can help out, how we can become part of this process in recovery. Most people don't get into recovery in isolation. And let me reiterate that. Most people don't get into recovery in isolation. It happens in community. When we look at people who struggle to find recovery, we all want to know how to help more people find their way into recovery. We need recovery-ready communities to help maximize their chances. We need recovery-ready communities to help maximize the chances of not relapsing at all, to be able to say, I am in long-term recovery. But fear not, you know, we're gonna take control of this thing. Those of us who are in recovery, we have to do our own bidding, because we tried over and over and over and over again. I'm gonna play a song later on about a young lady that was hooked on heroin for many years. She was a famous singer. I'm not going to break the surprise, but many of you probably can guess who that is. We'll play her song later and find out exactly what she's talking about, what she went through. And there are many places around the country that have recovery-ready communities. And I, for one, would love to visit some of these sites. I'm in touch with the Recovery Cafe director who lives in Seattle, Washington, and he's gonna put together a packet for me to study, and I'm gonna be presenting that at the HEART meeting. Big shout out to all the HEART people who are listening in. Dr. Hastings listens in quite often. He tells me every time he can catch me, and so I really appreciate that. But that's community. That's community, and those are some of the things that we have to show up. I was privileged yesterday to go to a graduation ceremony, which is sort of like, you know, part of the healing forest and analogy that I was using just now. The healing forest. A gentleman graduated yesterday after 2 years in the drug court system, and you get into drug court after you've committed a felony, usually drug possession, or something to have to do with drugs, and they put you in the drug court system, rather than go to jail, and you get to work that program. And it was a kind of a success. It doesn't always look that way from the outside, but this young man that graduated yesterday, he was just overwhelmed, and he was definitely a hard case, because I worked with him a lot of times, but he's a good guy. I saw something in him from the first day that I met him, and I said, you know, I'm going to choose not to give up on this brother. And he made it. He graduated. So congratulations, Josh. And then all the guys that I first met a couple of years ago, they were riding on a van for a counseling service whose name, Callahan's Counseling. I'll just go ahead and mention that. Big shout out to Callahan. And he would provide transportation and he worked for the drug court, and I would pick up these guys, 7 and 8 of them at a time, all across Jefferson and Berkeley County. And Josh was one of the guys on the van. And we would always talk about from worst to first. And we'd have a good laugh about that, because the guys, they come out of jail and come out of the halfway houses, and they're raw. It's just raw material. And those of us who have been there and done that, you know, we pair up pretty good with these folks, because I understand their language, you know, and being a part of the long-term recovery community as a coach or as a mentor or just someone who is at home with a loved one. Sometimes these folks are just in the raw, and they need someone to listen to them about what it is that they're going through, and not have to shove some sort of recovery path down people's throats. And so that's kind of what the Recovery Cafe does. It gives you an opportunity to tailor make your recovery path. It's up to you to choose your way to recovery. And the way I chose the recovery is it's kind of like, it's not unique by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not the norm. It's not what they push. And so I take the analogy of the healing forest, and I take a look at that. And I don't try to dismiss the pathways that we already have. I just try to add to them. And that's what is my hopes that we accomplish here on Recovery Radio, here in Enlightened Radio. And so if you'd like to reach me, you can just go to my website or go to my Facebook page, James Boyd, and you'll find all the reach out information, how you can send your questions and have your phone calls in. And We're going to create a dynamic community for long-term recovery, and we're going to create something very different, and that is my hopes in being here on Recovery Radio. So this is who we are. We are a treatment and recovery support provider. This is coming out of Ann Arbor. We've been around for a long time, and we're pretty respected. We often ask how others might replicate our program in another community. How can we replicate these programs in our community? And so everything is just laid out for us. I'm really surprised, because I've been an advocate. I step out against heroin addiction especially, but any kind of addiction. You know, I come against it, and I try to meet people where they are. And I'm just really surprised that some of these different programs, some of these opportunities to get into long-term recovery that are all across the country, we have not embraced them here in Berkeley or Jefferson County, from what I find. However, some of I have to be open and transparent. There are a lot of opportunities around the counties, both counties, and the information is just not out there. Because on yesterday, I met a gentleman who was in recovery, Mr. Rick Futrell. And now he's a probation officer. And he talked to me for quite a long time. His church is on Route 9 up near Hedgesville. And it's his church. Let me see. I'm gonna try to name his church. I'll get it in a Mr. Rick Futrell, probation officer. And he's part of a reentry program here in Jefferson County. in Berkeley County, and he mentors and talks to people that are on probation and coming out of jail. And so that is working. It's just that there are so many things that seem to be a secret. And so the only way that we can get on top and get out in front of this thing is to become a real community, a recovery ready community. And the writer says, people from out of the area often ask us, how do you attract people into services? They are often focused on how to create a detox program that people want to come to. We tell them that you attract people into recovery by focusing on the back door rather than the front door. Some of what makes that back door attractive is provided by us. Things like housing and long-term recovery support. However, the most important element is making that back door attractive happen in the community. Opportunity to have sober fun. Now, that's one of my favorites. Good sober fun, because when I was decided to stay stopped, I said to myself, this is going to be a boring, boring life. And I've been proven wrong, and I am so thankful for that. How to have sober fun. Good job opportunities. Opportunities to return to school and find a career path. Yeah, and I had opportunity. I returned to school, the culinary, under Chef Props. And Chef Props, I did a report on Paul Bocuse, the Bocuse d'Or. He is the, if you ever watch the movie Ratatouille, and you see the big chef with the hat on top of the restaurant, that was Paul Bocuse, and he died the other day. He was international. No, and my instructor, Chef Props, worked with Paul Bocuse in Italy. I believe Chef Prop worked in Italy with him, and Chef Prop is an excellent. And if you ever need someone to prepare something for you, just look up Chef Props on Facebook and get that guy to cook you some food. He is a wonderful, wonderful chef. But that's one of the opportunities that I took to return to school and find a career path. However, that was not my career path. It was really a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, I often like to joke that I'm one of the only culinary students graduated with honors and could not cook. Ah, but guess what? I was the best front of the house man that he had. And so that was what I kind of did. I washed pots and pans. I cleaned up the kitchen. I was a prep man, and I was front of the house. And a shout out to Erica and Jamal, all the people that went to school with me up there. That was the best time ever in recovery for me. Opportunities to return to school and the community that by and large believes in their capacity for change. Believe not only to be a recovery ready community, we have to believe that there is change. Change happens. We have to present ourselves as changed, because those who have a blind eye to turn, they need to see that you have changed. And sadly enough, sometimes they see it in a difficult way because it affects a loved one who is very close and near and dear to them. We don't want you to have to be affected that way. So we ask that you would do some research, come down to some of the gatherings about addiction. Stop posting on Facebook that everybody, there's character defects, that people who have committed moral turpitude, if I can say that word, that's a tongue twister, moral turpitude, and that you will never amount to anything, once an addict, always an addict. We got to break down those stereotypes, get rid of all of that stigmatism. Get it out of your system and look to becoming a recovery ready community. Now, when we think about all these community elements that we benefit from, some of them are luck. We just happen to have been founded in a community that has a robust economy and public transportation. You know, there in this community that I'm reading about, there are people who own businesses, and they hire people who are coming out of addiction, coming out of jail, and they hire them. And so this community is bustling with people who are in recovery. We just happen to have been founded in a community that has a robust economy and public transportation. Other elements we've contributed to their development. That NIMBY issues are minor. Cultivating relationships with employers and safe educating medical professionals. Affordable places to live. Now, recovery ready communities. And I'm going to go back over another one. Who are we? So do we have Billie Holiday. Billie Holiday was strung out on heroin for a lot of years, and she went to prison in West Virginia, and one of her songs is going to be coming up as soon as we can get it loaded in.
Which one?
Billie Holiday.
I didn't.
No, you didn't. Oh, then.
Okay. Which one do you want to play?
Lady Sings the Blues.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was Billie Holiday. Beautiful and moving voice of Billie Holiday. And if you can just imagine, Billie Holiday was singing about the blues in that song. And she was, at that point, a heroin addict. Severe, I might add, heroin addict. And everybody needs a place to heal, but unfortunately for Billie Holiday at that time, her place where she was healing was in jail. Lots of times we do well when we're in a controlled environment, a lot of structure. We follow the rules. We get in and they set it up. They set up in the communities in rehab where you have a structured environment. You have president, vice president, person who does this, that, and the other. You get assignments, and people do well. They get excited about it. You know, they come to a place where it's almost time for them to get out, and usually relapse is just lying, waiting at the door, doing push-ups, waiting for you to finish that stint in the recovery community. And I'd like to say, or ask a question, pose a question, after rehab, then what? And unfortunately for Billie Holiday, those questions were not even questions at that time in this country. It was looked at and frowned upon as moral or character defects that would cause a person to use heroin, which is what she was using at that time. The playing field has changed, has gotten bigger, the chemicals have changed, but the blues still remains, and it's such a powerful force. And we know everyone needs a place to heal. I'm going to talk to you a minute about the model for the social events, Sober Fun. It's called the Recovery Cafe. And it's something I've been focusing on for a few weeks now. And I reached out to some people in Seattle. And I just like to share, and they have, it's a wonderful magazine that I've been given. It's called The Sojourners. And I see where the Recovery Cafe in Seattle, the picture of a lot of people in recovery, all walks of life, all nationalities, all hate, height, weight, sizes, everything. You know, we create the circle, those of us in recovery. And one of the things I've found out is that some of the best people I've ever come across had some substance abuse problems that they were trying to deal with and overcome. And I hope that here on Enlightened Radio, Recovery Radio, here with James Boyd and John Case, that we can add some kind of highlighting. We can make the flowers bloom in your life by just putting good information out there, giving you options. You know, things that you some of the things that may not have worked for you, and you seem that you're running out of options. Well, we're here to add options to that. And I want to share something with you, creating recovery-ready communities. Alternative peer groups is what we'll be offering, a community-based, family-centered, professionally staffed, positive peer support program that offers pro-social activities, counseling, and case management for youth and young adults who struggle with substance use. The main focus is to offer and shape a new peer group that utilizes positive peer pressure to stay sober. You know, I found out something yesterday from another veteran, actually it was last night, that they've changed the policies at the VA. You go out, because they have inpatient, it's all inpatient quality there. And so when you're an inpatient, if you go out and either drink alcohol or use drugs, and you come in, they do urine screening, breathalyzers. Well, if you break that rule, now you don't get kicked out in the street. They let you stay in the program, or in the hospital, in the inpatient facility, but they move you to another type of counseling, which is kind of like a reentry. It's a forgiveness part of the program that they offer. And so that has changed since I was last in the VA hospital. And so the peer groups and the collegiate recovery community, a supportive environment with the campus culture. And so those are some of the things. When you become a peer recovery coach, the collegiate recovery community is one of the communities that, you know, we're going to have to kind of tap into to become recovery ready support services. It's a supportive environment with a campus culture that reinforces the decision to disengage from addictive behavior. It is designed to provide an educational opportunity alongside recovery support to ensure that students not have to sacrifice one for the other. After rehab, then what? Even in the collegiate community, after rehab, then what? You know, after your weekend of binging, then what? What do you do after that? And then we have the other piece is jail and prison-based recovery support. Some of that is going on, but I believe here on Recovery Radio, I need to put the word out, sound the alarm, that we need to be more aggressive in this area, because I stated before that you have a disease. Some say you have a disease, and they lock you up in a place that makes the disease worse, and then they punish you when you get out for not getting better. Jail and prison-based recovery support. So when you are incarcerated and there's no reentry, a conversation that goes on, when you are released, you come right back to the same soiled soil. The soil is poisoned. The soil is not conducive to growth. The soil, we have to treat the soil. I talked to you about the healing forest analogy. And you can use this kind of thing in your home. You know, you have to get rid of some of that old thinking and put it into soil that is rich and nutritious and has a lot of light. Individuals in recovery bring recovery groups, coaching and other activities into facilities. These are the individuals who go into the jails to assist incarcerated individuals with achieving and maintaining recovery and connecting with the community-based recovery support upon release. And I tell you, we had the show last week. We were talking about the commercializations and how you are marketable. And so when you go inside the prison system, which we need prison systems here. They just need to be managed a little better. We need law enforcement here because you, like the number 45 says, there's some bad dudes out. So when something happens, you need law enforcement to come to your house and kind of take care of that. But it has to be overhauled. We need to do something different. Not get rid of what we already have. Or some of it, we need to get rid of some of it, some of the aggression and the killing that goes on. We need to get rid of that in law enforcement and the judicial system. We need to get rid of the inequality in there and become recovery-ready communities. Peer recovery coaching. I really like this one because I'm right now involved in peer recovery, the academy, and I like the term academy because it gets me an opportunity to kind of dream build. You know, I've never been to an academy before, and I never knew that when I was in addiction, active addiction, that it would bring me to this place for such a time as this. And so I want to introduce the community to the Peer Recovery Support Academy. And so it's a non-clinical, peer-based activities that engage, educate, and support an individual, a family member, to make the life changes to be successful on their chosen pathway of recovery. Your chosen pathway. It's a tailor-made situation that's going on. It's an inside job, if I can say that. It's an inside job. It's something that takes place on the inside of you, but you need help being able to recognize what it is that's inside you. You know, I thought to myself the other night that when I first started using heroin, using hindsight, I believe that I disappeared from myself. And almost 30 years later, I was reintroduced to me. And when I met me, when I finally met me, first of all, I had to step back and say, who is this guy? I kind of like him. He stops doing a lot of things. He stops smoking cigarettes. I didn't change my diet as much as I would like to have done, and I see that there's that's kind of a negative thing when you don't put all the pieces in place. But there, you know, you get another do-over with that as well. Well, at least I did. Everybody don't get that, you know, because you suffer from different things like hepatitis and HIV and diabetes and kidney failure and your teeth fall out and all of these horrendous things happen when you're a substance abuser. But I kind of met myself. You know, I came back from a dark place and I was introduced or reintroduced to James Boyd. And that's kind of what the peer recovery coaching means to me. I get an opportunity to kind of try and be that example of someone who has stopped and stayed stopped. And I also get to kind of meet the individual who does not really know him or herself. And I kind of get to usher them in that direction, because underneath it all, you were wonderfully and beautifully created for lots of things. And so that's a peer recovery coaching. Medication assisted recovery support. And that is a big topic around here. You know, one of the questions that came to mind for me, for this long term person in recovery, is what happens in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and in the rooms of faith-based recovery when they begin to legalize marijuana in this community? And I believe it's coming. You know, I don't stand here. I don't promote that in any way. You know, that's kind of a private matter for a lot of people. However, there's a shift going on. And people are being driven away from these different groups because of a medically assisted treatment. You're taking Suboxone or some other the shot Vivitrol and all of these things, or if a person has medical marijuana or something, you're often shunned in these communities, from what I hear. And this is kind of like third party, because I've been to groups and I've never been shunned, but I guess it's because I'm not high or I'm not on medically assisted. Because when I got clean, there was no medically assisted treatment except methadone, and you took some methadone, you definitely didn't want to go to no group, no NA or AA group. You just wanted to sit around and nod because it's maintenance. And that's kind of the same thing with the medically assisted recovery support. And now in the recovery community, there's some kind of inside fighting going on, if I can say that, about whether a person is in recovery or not. But what I've come to learn, that you're in recovery when you say you're in recovery. That's your call. So that is what will happen with the Recovery Cafe. That's your call. That's your call. If you say you're in recovery, then I believe that you're in recovery. It's not my job to tell you that you're not. But, you know, there are some boundaries and everything, and we'll talk about that in another show. And then we talk about the recovery support services, the Recovery Community Center. We have one of those in Charlestown. And Recovery Orange Sanctuary, anchored in the heart of the community, a physical location where the recovery community can organize a hub for recovery and family support services. Services may include recovery coaching, life skills, groups, employment, education, and housing support. Recovery High School, secondary school designed specifically for students in recovery from substance use disorder or dependency. Although each school operates differently depending on available community resources and state standards, each recovery high school share common goals. Recovery community organizations, recovery residents, and all of these recovery-ready communities, these services that are being offered, Recovery Orient Sanctuary Orchestrated, Medication Assistant, Peer Recovery Coaching. All of these things are part of creating a recovery community. Everyone needs a place to heal, according to this Recovery Cafe. And sometimes for a lot of people coming to the Recovery Cafe or going through any kind of detox program or a loving and caring facility, it takes time to bring yourself to accept what's offered, especially when your life has taught you that you have no value. And sometimes we in the Recovery Cafe community or the sober community, the first time anyone cared, we felt like anyone cared for us is when we got into a recovery-ready community. And so in the Recovery Cafe, it transforms suffering into hope. And there are places, the social places that, you know, we can go to when we're feeling down, places where we can go and sit and have a hot cup of cocoa or get on the computer. And so that would be the Sober Cafe. We love you. I know why. That's why I keep coming back. And these are some of the things. Let me read a couple of paragraphs in the Recovery Cafe. The best part of doing this work, Grove said, comes when she witnesses a softening in the protective armor worn by so many lost and forgotten people. A softening in the protective armor. I guess that would mean that people frown on you when they get wind that you're either a substance abuser or you have something else that does not fit into their scheme or their dynamic or fit into what they think you should look like or how you should behave. And so the best part of doing the work, Grove says, comes when she witnesses a softening in the protective armor worn by so many people. One day, one of their members who had been waiting months to get into a treatment center had fallen short of the 24-hour sobriety requirement. So there's a 24-hour sobriety requirement. And in most places that you go to, you have to stay out and for 24 hours. And when you come in and you do the initial screening, if you don't pass that test, that smell test, then you forfeit your bed or your place in line. So they had to ask him. So he failed the sobriety requirement. They had to ask him to leave. As he walked off down the alley, a staff member called after him in the voice of a friend who does not give up. We love you. In the voice of a friend who does not give up. How many times have people given up on you? How many times you feel that, well, you obviously haven't given up on yourself because you're above ground here. But how many times have people turned you away, have given up on you? You've done things over and over and they've just gotten tired of it and they wipe their hands of it. Well, she called to him. She said, we love you. I know, came the reply. So here's a guy that really wanted to be in recovery. I know, came the reply. That's why I keep coming back. He wanted to be in recovery, but remember, he failed the sobriety test just a few short minutes ago. But came that reply, I know you love me. That's why I keep coming back. And that's the behavior. That's recovery ready communities. Communities that embrace you no matter what. Because something has, well, it didn't just happen. This didn't just become a disease. It's always been that way. It's just that we're looking at it a different way now. There's been a softening, not only in the armor of the person who is a substance abuser, but the community at large. There has been a softening. Maybe while you're in it, maybe while you're actively using, you can't see the softening. But I sit before you and I can tell you that there is a softening in the country, in the world. And my question before was about the marijuana. Do you feel that it's a gateway? Is it a gateway drug for you? You know, I was talking to the gentleman yesterday. He said people can be addicted to all sorts of things. And he explained to me one of his addictions was power. He was addicted to power. He was addicted to the spotlight. He and his wife were becoming estranged because not of substance abuse, but power. And he realized that he was addicted. He was always on to the next big story. He was always on to the next big newspaper article. He was addicted to power and money, and you know, and these things had consumed him. And that kind of surprised me, because in this business, I'm meeting all sorts of people. So my idea of a person addicted, I had gotten tunnel vision because I was focused on my own addiction from heroin, on heroin so long, that I thought that, you know, if you were addicted to something, it had to be a hard drug or cigarettes. But power. And so that's what he was explaining to me about. There has been a paradigm shift. There has been a softening of the idea of substance abuse, addiction in any form, and people are beginning to look at it differently. Not because so much that that's how they want to look at it. It's just that we have, as a country, been pushed to have to look at this in a more serious and sustained way. All the money that has been made or is being made off of addiction is going to have to take a back seat, you know, and it's starting to happen. So I invite you to, if you're actively addicted or if you've got a loved one who's addicted, you know, pick up the phone. Go to the website, James Boyd, or not the website, go to my Facebook page website, or go to Enlighten Radio and get some information for some resources. Go to the Heart. The Heart programs, that's H-A-R-T, Heart. And it's a drug advocacy group in Berkeley County. And they have a whole page, a whole list of resources where you can get into treatment. And just keep in mind, here on Recovery Radio and Lighten Radio, here in Berkeley County and Jefferson County, we believe and we're focusing on after rehab, then what? After rehab, what do you do then? And I was speaking to Josh and some of the other fellows yesterday, and you know, I invited the guy. I said, look, I know you've only been clean for a short time, but I can't wait until you join the Lifers Club, because I'm in the Lifers Club, and I'm not afraid to say hashtag stay stopped for life, because I know what heroin addiction, heroin injection, heroin use, narcotics of use can do to you. You know, you disappear from yourself. Your health starts to wane. Your finances, your character starts to change. You become more and more susceptible to failure. Your skin texture changes. You know, your ability to make sound decisions, it changes. You disappear from yourself. So your character is still in there. So I mean, be afraid, but be fearless as well. Take that step. You know, get up off the couch. Come on outside. Call somebody. Go to a detox center. Get to a place where you can join the fight so we can create a recovery-ready community. Hashtag stay stop. After rehab, then what? These are some of the important questions, because recidivism is one of the tools that was being used on me as a person in active addiction. I mean, severe active addiction. I thought that recidivism was the way to go. You know, I used that. I used that as an opportunity to get in out of the cold during the winter. You know, but I still committed lots and lots of things that I'm not proud of. Even in the warmer days, that's when I would do most of my crimes. But recovery-ready communities, we have to create that. We have to get it in our spirit, and we have to walk towards that. Create a situation where we can come together as people in recovery and decide to, no matter what, that we're going to stay stopped. And let me read on about the Recovery Cafe. Recovery Cafe in Seattle now has a dedicated team to help interested people discern whether and how the model could work in their communities. If you think that this model, after you've done your research, after you sent me an email at boydbw@msn.com with your suggestions and ideas, do you think that the Recovery Cafe would be a model that we can rely on here in Jefferson, Berkeley County, And throughout West Virginia, actually. So it's not something that's new, not trying to reinvent the wheel. And actually, I thought about the Recovery Cafe. I would just like for somebody to open it up. I don't particularly want to be the person that's overseeing this project, but I do know that it's needed. I would more like to be somebody who, a consultant. That sounds like a really good, interesting job. Because to be quite honest with you, I don't know if I have the energy to even be the head man in something like that. But I think it's a very good model. It's a great concept. I believe that we have the monies in our community to do something like that. During the cold spell, you know, I went down to where I work at the Shenandoah Hotel in Martinsburg, and we have a little storefront there. It used to be, it's called Dolly's. It used to be a cupcake shop. And I went and turned the lights on 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and some of the homeless were coming up and down the street. And I provided coffee and hot chocolates as much as I could. But I just thought that, man, you know, all the people who are addicted to drugs and have to get out in the cold like that and go and get that next fix, that's a horrible, horrible situation. And so I believe that we need a place where people can come and get in out of the cold, not to be directed to some rehab facility, but just to come in and get in out of the cold, just so I can get your attention. And then we can talk about what it is we can do to get you out of that misery. But for some people, it doesn't seem miserable right now, you know, because of the euphoria that comes with getting high. You know, you don't even have time to think about how miserable it is until after you get that heroin, that poison in your arm. You know, and I would even invite, if there's, you got your kids, listen, put something up on the refrigerator. If you see mommy or daddy taking that poison, call the poison control, because you have absolutely just taken poison into your system and you need help. So, I think that our young ones need to be made aware of all these things and how to help, because everybody can help, even our children, how to help get rid of it. You know, I don't want to just arrest this pestilence. I want to get rid of it altogether. How can we do that? That is my objective here on Recovery Radio and even with the Recovery Cafe. You know, get it started, do some bagels and sing Kumbaya if we have to. But just get people engaged, get the community, wake them up. And right now I want to have you listen to a song by Teddy Pendergrass. Once we can get up, it's called Wake Up Everybody, because that is what we're trying to do here on Recovery. We're trying to wake the community up to what it is that we're up against. So we're gonna, and I want you to really listen carefully, because it's affecting everybody.
War and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now. just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Change it, yeah.
Change
it. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all. Y'all. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Yeah, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes, I do.
Need a little help.
Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all. Change the world, what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Wake up.
Teddy Pendergrass, wake up everybody. Trying to get everybody to come back to life. Yeah, we got a long way to go. So we want to talk about Billie Holiday. That's the last part of the segment of the show. Billie Holiday was admitted to the hospital for heart and liver problems. She was so addicted to heroin that she was even arrested for possession while in the hospital on July 17, 1959. Billie Holiday died from alcohol and drug-related complications. The singer was actually really one of my favorites, because of her sultry sound, her voice, and also because I can relate to her pain and the things that she was going through. So you need only take a lesson from Billie Holiday and what she went through, and all of the older singers. But most of them, I find, were either hooked on heroin or headed to that way, or alcoholic. Billie Holiday, better known as Billie Holiday, was an American jazz musician and singer-songwriter with a career spanning nearly 30 years. And I tap into Billie Holiday at this the end of this segment because she was one of the pioneers here, heroin addiction here in West Virginia. She was arrested in some parts of West Virginia. The place eludes me now, but heroin addiction has been a long-standing staple in the African-American community. But it has now taken a turn, and some of our most gifted athletes. I was meeting with a young gentleman yesterday in the Jefferson Courthouse that had been arrested. He was a star football player for Martinsburg High, and he got arrested behind drugs and robbery. I think he started with the marijuana, and then it escalated, and that's when the robbery and the other felonies started to happen in his life. And so I met with him yesterday. He had finally gotten out of jail, and there was a possibility of after rehab, then what, that came up during the conversation. What are you going to do now? You're out. You're in the drug court. You got some community support. But what are you going to do now for yourself? Once you come out of the rehab, of you get the cobwebs cleared, and you're able to stand on your own, and you're going out into the community, what do you do? What is there? I mean, what's being offered to those who are just, you're released on your own, back into the community, back into that tainted soil. So we have to come up with ways to kind of combat this. And I hope that something has been said that kind of resonates with you, and I hope something has been gained. And thank you for listening this week to Recovery Radio here on Enlightened Radio. It's James Boyd signing off.